When Dr. Zhang Nanshan announced on January 20, 2020 that the novel coronavirus could spread through human transmission, Wuhan's 11 million residents faced an unimaginable reality. For celebrated writer Feng Feng, this moment marked the beginning of what would become an extraordinary literary witness to history. Her Wuhan Diary, chronicling 60 days under quarantine, captivated millions worldwide, some staying awake past midnight just to read her latest entry. Through unflinching prose, she documented not just a city in crisis, but a pivotal moment that would reshape our understanding of public health, governance, and human resilience. "When I first logged on to write my initial diary entry," she recalls, "I never imagined writing 59 more entries or that millions would stay up late just to read my next installment." Her chronicle became both cultural phenomenon and lightning rod, praised by literary critics as essential testimony, while nationalist critics accused her of providing ammunition to foreign critics of China. Lockdown transformed the vibrant metropolis into an eerie ghost town. Streets that should have bustled with Lunar New Year celebrations stood empty, with decorative lanterns swaying in the wind. The mask shortage became critical. Feng's brother washed disposable masks while she had been using a single N95 since December. When she finally found masks for 10 yuan each, she bought 4, saving 2 for her brother. By late January, the situation deteriorated further. Hospital resources remained severely limited, with even doctors' families struggling to gain admission. The virus behaved unpredictably, with patients improving, then suddenly deteriorating. Medical personnel suffered most severely, with multiple doctors at Wuhan Central Hospital dying in quick succession. On February 7th, collective grief enveloped Wuhan when Dr. Li Wenliang died after contracting the virus. He had been among 8 doctors penalized for speaking out early. To commemorate him, residents turned off their lights, then shined flashlights skyward while whistling at the moment of his passing. Most heartbreaking was a daughter's screaming behind her mother's funeral car, denied proper burial rites central to Chinese culture. "One speck of dust from an entire era may not seem like much," Feng wrote, "but when it falls on your head, it's like a mountain crashing on you." Throughout the crisis, ordinary citizens became extraordinary heroes. Feng praised thousands of volunteers who served as crucial lifelines, noting, "If not for them, we would have only had the mechanical government offices to rely on." Young people delivered groceries, while university students organized online support for elderly residents living alone. Communities developed efficient distribution systems through WeChat groups where neighborhood representatives placed wholesale orders for contactless pickup. These networks expanded to include medicine delivery, mental health support, and pet care for hospitalized residents. Medical personnel made the greatest sacrifices, working grueling shifts under extreme conditions. Many initially worked without proper protection when officials claimed the virus couldn't be transmitted between people, forcing them to improvise with raincoats and swimming goggles. Some staff slept in hospitals for weeks to protect their families, with some Hubei medical facilities reporting staff infection rates as high as 60%. Feng Feng demanded accountability for the 20-day delay between initial cases and Wuhan's quarantine, insisting on investigation into who spread the dangerous, not contagious between people myth that cost countless lives. By mid-March, thousands of trolls attacked her on Weibo. "Though initially angered, I'm now numb," she wrote. "Most attackers haven't even read my diary, but only out-of-context quotes with malicious framing. They call me a traitor for simply recording what I see." Censors deleted her WeChat posts within hours, forcing her to maintain backup accounts. She described writing with a sword hanging overhead, never knowing which words might trigger deletion. Despite this pressure, she remained defiant. "So come at me with all you've got. Bring out all your dirty tricks. Let's see if I'm scared of you." Beyond statistics, Feng captured profound human tragedies. A famous painter fighting for life, 3 cinematographers who died after infection during a routine shoot, nurse Liu Fan, who died along with her family after working without proper protective equipment. By mid-February, temporary hospitals prevented infected patients from collapsing on streets, but the psychological impact of extended quarantine became increasingly evident. Fang noted Wuhan would need an army of counselors post-crisis, as everyone from quarantined families to grieving relatives to overwhelmed medical workers carried emotional burdens. She advocated for a Wailing Wall website, a digital memorial for a city unable to gather and mourn collectively. As the quarantine stretched to 50 days, coinciding with Qingming Festival, when families traditionally honor deceased relatives, she worried about psychological breakdowns when the full reality of losses set in. Most poignantly, she shared the story of choir member Bao Jay, who fell ill after New Year performances. His 90-year-old mother cared for him while desperately awaiting a hospital bed and wrote him a letter he never lived to read. These victims suffered not just from the virus, but from delayed warnings and inadequate early response. By mid-March, Wuhan showed signs of revival. Buses underwent testing, subway stations were disinfected, and the city reported consecutive days with zero new infections. Coronavirus-free communities gradually reopened, bringing children's laughter back outdoors as the city cautiously breathed again. Throughout her diary, Fang reflected on her 60-year bond with Rivertown Wuhan, where the Yangtze and Han rivers converge to create three distinct areas: commercial Hankou, intellectual Wucheng, and industrial Hanyang. Despite the catastrophe, she cherished her city's distinctive seasons: unbearably hot summers, crisp autumns perfect for lakeside walks, freezing winters, and brief yet beautiful springs when cherry blossoms transformed university campuses. Fang Fang displayed remarkable courage by demanding accountability in a society where intellectuals typically keep their heads low. Despite accusations that her diary would be weaponized against China, she became Wuhan's authentic voice, its heartbeat and conscience. In her final entry on March 24th, she wrote, "Though this diary ends, I'll continue writing and pursuing accountability. As Wuhan citizens who experience this tragedy, we have a duty to seek justice. If we abandon this search, we'll carry not just the burden of disaster, but the burden of shame and forgetting." When criticized for ignoring important things like military aid and hospital construction, Fang defended literature's role. "For the weak and dispossessed, literature is often a bright light. It is only literature that can tell you that it's okay if you are behind. There are a lot of other people just like you." She concluded, "I once thought I stood alone, but now see mountains of support behind me. With them beside me, I never felt alone." Fang Fang's diary demonstrates literature's power to bear witness, comfort the afflicted, and demand justice. In a world prone to forgetting tragedies, her words remind us that remembering is itself an act of courage, and bearing witness honors those who suffered.